Greetings, everyone. This is Martin Zender, and I am with my compatriot, Dan Sheridan. Hi, Dan.
Compatriot.
Compatriot. Of course, I separate this with compatriot. Some people say compatriot, but not me. Are the leaves changing where you are?
I'm looking out my window. I actually moved my office upstairs in my house, and I'm looking at a colored tree about 5 feet away from my window. And, yes, the trees have changed.
Well, this season is indicative of a larger change on not only the national scale, but the global scale. And not only on the global scale, but on the universal scale. The changes coming are unbelievable. We're facing now a time that the Earth has never known. And I'm not talking about the election in November, because the Earth has known changing elections. Men come and men go, but God never leaves, and he's steady. And if he ever changes, the stars are more likely to fall than our God changes. And so, but we're looking down the barrel, and I know you agree with me, Dan, of a time coming on the Earth that unprecedented. I talk about the Day of Indignation. Some people think that day is historic. We have folks who believe that the events in the Book of Revelation are past. That's a fantasy for several reasons. We could maybe do a whole show on that, or a series of shows.
We can't really get into that now, but I agree with you. The preterist view of Scripture is so far off the mark. It's an imagination. It's wild, and it turns Scripture into basically into a fantasy book that is depending on the whims of men to understand it. So, no, we don't agree with that view that Revelation has been fulfilled already.
Well, we promised you today that we are going to investigate the origin of human government. I think we can find out a lot about the nature of human government by going back to the source of it. Tell us a little bit about that, Dan.
Well, we've mentioned before in this program that the world has tried just about every form of government, and it's always been a failure. It started off in the first 10 chapters of Genesis, actually before the flood. We had almost an anarchy, and that turned out to be a failure, of course. And then after the flood, God instituted human government to restrain men from committing violent acts with each other. And but that was all the result. Right after Noah stepped off the ark, not too long afterwards, as they started populating the earth, they started to build a system there called Babylon, and that's where nations came from. Before the flood, there was one language. They all spoke the same language, probably Pig Latin. I think it's Pig Latin, don't you?
I way ink theose, S-ye.
Yeah, absolutely. It was probably Pig Latin anyway. And then from the Tower of Babel, the Concordant Version says the languages were disintegrated, and each language group went with its, you know, in its own area of the world, and that's where nations began. So, and then from there, we've had all kinds of, basically we can trace the form of this present world right now. The form of this present world all goes back to the Tower of Babel.
Isn't it interesting that humans always want to unify? They think they have strength in numbers, and if they can just all get together. I mean, we see this in microcosm form, too. You know, Christians believe that if you just pray in a circle, I've talked about this at length, if you get together, enough people together to pray in a circle, God is mightily impressed with numbers and unity. But this is not a divine need or want. This is a human need to unify, and this is what was attempted at Babel and with the tower.
And it was a united effort against God is what it was.
Yeah, tell me more about that.
Well, in when Noah stepped off the ark, God told him to be fruitful and fill the earth and so forth.
But he didn't tell him to get drunk, but that's one of the first things he did. Well, he stepped off the ark and he started drinking. I mean, that eon must not have looked too juicy to him, you know? If I stepped out on the eon 3, I'd have said, pass me the vintage. You know, I would have been after the bottle, and that's exactly what he did. He got drunk. So, yeah. It tells you a little bit about this present wicked eon. Noah was the first guy.
Yeah, it does. It tells you a lot.
Noah was the first guy to step out onto it, and the first thing he wanted was a stiff drink, like Foster Brook. What kind of eon is this? I want a stiff drink.
He did have to stay on. He did have to stay on a barge for about a little over a year with three women. So, actually, four women. So.
Oh well. Okay then. You're going to hear
All
about
right,
that.
well, in Genesis 11, it's how it starts in chapter 11. Now remember, in chapter 9, God told Noah and his children they were to be fruitful and scatter all over the earth and fill it. And it says in chapter 11, verse 1, now the entire earth continued to have one language and the same words for all of them. And it came to pass when they journeyed from the east that they found a valley in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And that's really in the Middle East. That's where all the problems are going on right
now. That's where Iraq is. That's the site of modern-day Iraq. Modern-day Babylon is the site of ancient Babylon. Tigris and the Euphrates River, that's a cradle of humanity right there.
There it is. And here's what they said. They said, each man to his associate, grant attention. Do let us mold bricks, and do let us burn them with a burning process. So the brick served as stone for them, and asphalt served as mortar for them. And they said, grant attention. Let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves as we be scattered over the surface of the entire earth. Now notice what they were doing there. Mm-hmm. Is they wanted to have a place of inspiration, so they wanted to build a city and a tower with its top in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves.
Yep, there it is.
Lest we be scattered over the surface of the entire earth. And what I found interesting about this, and somebody asked me recently, well, how do you know the scriptures are true? And I said, that's because every religion always builds a tower.
All religion
can be traced back to Genesis 11. You know, you
wow.
go down in southern Illinois. In southern Illinois, they have this thing called the mounds, and it was the Indians that were here before Columbus came. Not the Indians Columbus met, or the first settlers in Illinois met. These are the pre-Indian Indians, and they were called mound builders. There's mounds everywhere. There's mounds in South America, and it's interesting how cultures going back thousands of years always had the same form of religion. They all built these towers of some kind. And what you were in Washington the other day? What's the biggest thing you saw there? The Washington Monument.
Yeah, the Washington Monument.
Everyone building these towers. It's a form of human religion. It's making a name for ourselves in defiance of God.
I mean, it hasn't stopped. Every church you see has a steeple. And it's really just a remnant of the Tower of Babel. Let us make a name for ourselves. And I'll never forget a teacher I used to listen to back in the early 80s, Ray Prinzing, used to say, the steeples are all wrong. That's his accent there. They have the point toward God in the large part towards the congregation. Ought to be turned around like a funnel. You ought to have the wide part up toward heaven and the point down toward the people so God can pour his blessings in. That makes sense, though. You know, if you turn the steeple around, you have it looks like a funnel. It's like, let's get these blessings toward God. But instead, it's the human idea that we're going to funnel our blessings to him instead of his blessings to us. We're gonna take everything we have and give our worship to him. And really, that's a backhanded form of creature worship. It's let's make for ourselves a name. It's all about what we offer to God. And as we know, Ephesians 2, Christ is God's approach present, his gift to us.
Amen to that. It's interesting, too, you said about this, let us make a name for ourselves. You know what God said to Abraham in chapter 12?
No.
I shall indeed make your name great. God made Abraham's name great. Babylon was man's attempt to make a name for himself.
And isn't this where the word Babel comes from? I mean, for real, isn't it?
Yeah. It is. Yeah. This is where the word comes from. And
I think the Hebrew word means confusion, doesn't it?
Yeah, and it's interesting. In one language, it means gate of the God. In Hebrew, it means confusion.
Confusion, and yeah. Yeah, and, you know, Babylon is very significant. Babylon, you might say it was the world capital then. I mean, not technically because the nations weren't even formed yet, but Babylon became the world capital for the three world empires, the only three completely, totally world-covering empires that have ever been. The Babylonian Empire, the Medo-Persian Empire, and the Grecian Empire, all headquartered in Babylon. And Revelation tells us that the last world kingdom will be headquartered in Babylon. Of course, some of our friends say, oh, it's just a figure of speech. Well, that doesn't mean anything. Revelation, it's all signs. It doesn't mean anything. I say the burden of proof is on them because historical fact, three world capitals, Babylon, Babylon, Babylon. If you're going to make the last Babylon figurative, when you have this long string of literal capital, then yeah, the burden's on you to prove that.
Yeah, and the purpose again of our studies here have been we're talking about politics and human government, and we trace it all back to Babylon, and we can see today that all nations are founded. They go back to the Tower of Babel, which is a unified effort in defiance against God. God's intention is to bless the entire world through Israel. But right now, Israel is among the nations. They're scattered. They're low ami right now. They're not his people. So all these attempts of the nations to try to govern will end up in failure. And the point we've been trying to make over and over again to folks is look what we have in Babel here. This is how it started, in defiance. And where are we at today? Is the next election, can it affect our peace? The answer is no, because we know no matter who gets in the White House, like you mentioned, there may be a lesser of two evils, but we will never have peace through elected officials. Well, let's put it this way, as long as Jesus Christ isn't present.
Amen. Hey, the next show, let's talk about this. I really, starting next week, let's talk about this false unity. Let's talk about this desire of humanity to unify, because that's what we're looking at. That's what we're looking down the barrel of, another one world government. And we'll tie that in with Babylon. We'll talk about the future Babylon, and we'll talk about all the false attempts at unity, not only in the political world, but in the religious world as well.
Sounds like a not too heavy subject.
Well, it gets worse before it gets better. Let's put it that way.
I'm looking forward to it, sir.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it also. Until then, Mr. Sheridan, you have a great weekend.
You too, my friend.
I appreciate that. We'll see you all back here Monday. Thanks for listening.